Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, okay.
Hi, I'm Dean.
I'm Paul.
What? No, you're actually going with just Paul?
I don't know. I panicked.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Well, I can't think of anything that's not a spoiler. Yeah,
fair enough. I thought that when I was like, you're going to be completely stuck on this one because you can't really say anything without spoiling the movie. Anyways.
Like, if we get to the end, I'll tell you what I was going to say, but I can't say it because it's a spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I'm Jason, and welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week, we're going to have a look at Extinction, a new Netflix sci-fi film starring Michael Peña and Lizzie Kaplan. The story follows the character of Peter, who seems to be experiencing apocalyptic visions of the future in which an alien force is going to bring about mankind's, well, extinction. Does it soar like an eagle, or does it simply flimp the bird? Yeah. Dean, what do you...
I see what you
yeah,
did
yeah,
there.
I know, right? Yeah.
Well done.
Dean, yeah. What did you think?
That was so clever.
Does it soar?
All right.
Or flip?
I'm really unsure on this one.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm a bit on the fence, and I say barely soars.
Yeah, kind of right. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's fair. What about you, Paul?
I would say it's maybe like 500 to 600 feet above Dean's bird.
Oh, right.
So it's like it's soaring and it's a little bit higher.
But 600 feet's pretty good.
I'm not going to try and shoot it down.
Yeah, oh, okay. I see what you mean. It's like...
Yeah.
Half of 1,000 feet.
Okay, so you're going to be like Mr. Positive, glass half full for this one.
Yeah, if I was 50% on this bad boy, I'd be leaning a little bit more to 51 than 49.
Okay, right. So it's a massive difference. Yeah, fair enough.
How about you?
Crazy.
Yeah.
What about you, Jace?
I think I'm sort of a little bit with Dean. It only just soars for me. I really wanted to like it more, but there's a few things that ruined it for me, like not going into spoiler territory, but things like there's some shoddy CGI in it. Did you find that?
Oh,
like,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
I have notes. Like I was writing down some stuff because I only just finished watching it like half an hour, not half an hour, like 10 minutes ago. And in one of my notes, it literally says, VFX mostly okay. Budget?
yeah.
I couldn't find the budget.
Do you guys know what the budget was for this at all?
I tried. I looked on Box Office Mojo. I couldn't find it. It just says NA.
Hmm.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Fair enough. You know. Yeah, it's sort of... I know that it was developed by Universal, and it was meant to be a theatrical release, but then... At the last minute, they did kind of what happened with Cloverfield Paradox, and they just offloaded it to Netflix because it just obviously wasn't going to go really well at the cinemas. But
which is crazy because, in all honesty, like VFX aside, I would put it on par with like Skyline and Battle for Los Angeles. I'd put it on the same level.
Yep.
Really?
I'd say it's a bit better than Battle Los Angeles.
I agree.
I see what you're talking about, yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the CGI for me was really good in places. Like, I feel like when it was the points where, like, you just had no idea what was going on and you kind of, like, left it up to your imagination, it's just, like, a ton of lights in the sky. It looked awesome. And then the last shot wrecked it for me. And I can't describe it because it's a spoiler.
That sucked.
Yep.
I kept thinking if only someone had just re-edited that, it would have been heaps better. And it reminded me of, you guys have both seen Minority Report, right? The last shot in that movie is terrible as well. Do you remember it? Like when she's in the house?
No, I don't.
Yeah, so she's in house in the middle of nowhere, and then it does like the whole pull out from in the house, and like does the whole Spielberg one take kind of thing, and ends up in a field, and
forest,
and right up in the air, and it looks really fake, and it's terrible. Yes.
It was not good.
And like it's the same kind of thing that happens with this. And you're like, what is this? And I keep thinking, if they only just, like, you know, cut it a little bit shorter, maybe not had a few of those wide shots, it would actually be decent. But it just takes away so much from the last few seconds of the movie. And you're like, oh, was that necessary?
Pulls you right out of it.
See,
definitely.
It's crazy because, like, again, looking at Box Office Mojo, they're saying the guys who did it were Vertigo Entertainment. And I'm looking at some of the other stuff that they worked on.
Yeah.
And they worked on, like, the Lego movie, How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters, Godzilla versus Kong.
Wow.
Things like that. And it's like, these are,
wow,
if anything, purely VFX movies.
So, yeah, exactly.
You know, maybe just send at least one of the guys.
Maybe they just did movies. Did like the shorty effects on that. Maybe like, you know how you got like big movies that they like distribute all the visual effects shots to all the different studios because there's so many like visual effects shots. Maybe they're the smaller company that just ended up with like, you know, they did the keying or something like that and then handed it off to someone else to do the final touch-ups.
It makes sense.
They do all the rotoscoping.
Yeah. The guys who did that last shot were also the guys who did the Lego movie.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's what I
was thinking. Perfectly.
I was like, the Lego movie would be kind of a compliment to that last shot, though, because it's just not very good at all.
True.
If anything, I was thinking the whole time, I'm like, just blow it up. Don't even do what you're doing right now. Just detonate.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
easier
to do an explosion.
Oh, it's just.
Nothing about it looked real. I was like thinking, I've seen better animation in the kid shows that my daughter watches.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I was watching Thomas and Friends for a second.
Oh, man, yeah.
It's like, what the heck?
I wanted the aliens to see them. That's how much I disliked that scene.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is crap.
Yeah.
Blow them up.
Yeah, fair enough. So I think we could go into spoilers now. I think, so overall, though, you guys are on the fence a little bit with this, but it does soar for you guys, I take it?
Just.
Yeah,
I think we're all in agreement on that. I thought one of us might like it a bit more, but we seem to be all on the same page.
Who was that?
I actually thought you, Dean, would like it a little bit more.
Really?
But then I also thought that Paul would love it because he just seems to overlook a lot of these things that, usually, like you're pretty good at overlooking bad CGI and stuff like that for the sci-fi nature of it, but. Nah.
But like,
but we still
love 60% of the movie, I was frustrated because it felt like, you know, oh, I'm glad I wasn't where I was 10 seconds ago. And it's like, it's those kind of tropes.
It's
entertaining. It's good. But then once like the turn hit, I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
I think that is my major problem is the first two. And I've watched it twice now. But the first two acts of this movie are a little bit slow. And it really picks up in that third act when the turn sort of happens, actually sort of in the second act, maybe halfway through, that piques my interest way more and you get way more invested in the story as a whole, because it becomes way more interesting. And I think on repeat viewing, like the second time I watched it, I wasn't as bored in the first half of the movie because I was starting to pick up on all those little things that contributed to the twist.
Yeah.
And totally. I actually really enjoyed it more. And it probably, I would have rated it a little bit lower had I not watched it a second time just in preparation for this podcast. So that's, for me, it does soar like an eagle, only just. But, by the sound of it, I probably liked it more than you guys, which is unusual.
You watched
it
twice
as much.
This never happens.
Yeah, which is really weird.
You hate everything.
Yeah, but it's only like, you know, I'd probably be at maybe 55 instead of 52 kind of thing.
I like that it was your suggestion to do this movie, and then we all do the movie and we're all like, eh.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
It's okay.
The twist does make the movie, and I think it makes it a better movie.
It does.
Absolutely. And I really would be keen to see what this director does in a few more movies' time kind of thing. Because it's
so
Ben
who
Young.
Directed it, actually?
Ben Young directed it, and it's his second feature film. He's an Australian filmmaker. Mm-hmm. He made another film called Hounds of Love, which looks like a disturbing kind of Wolf Creek sort of movie, but he shows great potential, and you can see it in this movie, but unfortunately there's just some things about it that really don't work. And I think one of the biggest problems is the pacing is really slow in the first two acts, and the CGI is just so terrible. I kept thinking they're just in front of green screens the whole time, because you'd have this destruction like in the background.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's so detached from everything that's happening in the foreground. And I'm like, I can't really invest in this because it feels fake. It's like Gods of Egypt kind of fake.
Oh, but that's insulting.
Yeah.
It's like when they were going down the outside of the building and you're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's the lighting. It doesn't look right.
No.
It just doesn't look right. Yeah.
And you're like,
it looks like,
are you standing still right now?
And the
building's moving. Oh, no.
We're falling.
Yeah.
Everything inside the building, I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Because it had that real claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Like what, thriller aspect to it.
Yeah. Once they're like and right inside effects. The building, not on like the balcony side of things, when they move out to the balcony, you're like, yeah, okay, they're on a set somewhere, but yeah, at least, inside. So we can all agree on that.
Inside.
So, we can all agree on that at least, that it soars like an eagle, just barely. Let's go into spoilers. So if you're still around and you haven't seen this movie, we're going to go into some spoilers and really talk about the real big twist. And if you're going to watch this movie, probably stop here because it is decent enough to watch for the twist alone.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
it's very hard to talk about this movie without going to spoilers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Because usually when the spoilers hit is when this movie gets good.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and that's when this podcast will get good, hopefully.
Unless you're really into a man slowly being rejected by his family and disappointing his children, you'll love the first two acts. If not, go watch it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, cool.
I'm just going to double check and make sure that my wife isn't listening because she hasn't seen this movie.
Okay, I just want to go and hug my wife and child. I'll be back in a moment.
I'll let them know that I love them and I'll do better to spend,
Daddy's
I'll
here,
try to
sweetie.
Spend more time with them.
He's not going to have more apocalypse visions anymore.
We're gonna go to the pier. Yeah. Oh, you actually left. He actually left.
Yeah.
Wow.
Doors closed.
Okay, cool. So doors closed.
I was actually, dude, that wasn't a joke. I was legitimately serious. Rachel hasn't seen this movie, and I know that she'll love it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She loves things like Falling Skies and The 100 and
nice.
Those kind of sci-fi things. And I feel like this is definitely in that kind of ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
I feel, yeah.
I am, totally. There's also another movie that it reminded me a little bit of. I don't know whether you've ever seen this, but it's Take Shelter. It's directed by Jeff Nichols and it's got Michael Shannon in it. Have you seen that movie?
Right.
He also directed a movie called Midnight Special, which is also on Netflix. Midnight Special, I remember it being good, but I can't fully remember it. Take Shelter is fantastic. If you ever get a chance to watch that movie, it's very similar in the way of the main character having these apocalyptic visions of the future and dreams. And his wife sort of has to go through the either is he insane or is he actually seeing visions of the future, and it plays with that really well, even better than this, I think, in a lot of ways. But it doesn't have as big a twist in it as this does. So, okay, now that we've told everyone that we're going into spoilers, we're gonna go into spoilers. Paul, you wanna break the ice? Tell us what.
Yeah. So the big twist, the biggest kicker about this movie, and this is where I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Turns out that the attacking force are not aliens. They are in fact humans.
What?
They look exactly like us.
You know what?
And I shut the front door.
That is not where the twist happened for me, to be honest. I picked that they were humans. I could tell that they were humans because of the way they're walking and everything like that. And I was this is either really crappy suits for a really bad CGI or they're humans, and for whatever reason they're attacking them, like maybe they're like, you know, from a different country or something like that. But the actual twist for me, I did not see coming at all. Did you see it coming at all, Dean? The other twist?
The fact that the heroes or the protagonists are actually robots. I didn't.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Since. Well, whatever.
It's different.
But the other thing, I thought the aliens were just like really, at first, were just really badly done. Like just really like cool costumes, like, but really badly acted out and clearly people in alien costumes. And so I liked that they were people.
Yeah.
I've watched enough like Doctor Who, and the VFX at that point were a little on the cheaper side. So I was like, that's fine. They can be humanoid.
Maybe that's why they did the really crappy VFX, because you just bought into the idea that they were
the first draft is really polished and it looks amazing, like Avengers 1 level.
This actually,
if you think about it, it is kind of a classic Doctor Who episode.
Yeah.
It has a bit of that feel, like the twist and everything as well.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Doctor Who have pulled this kind of stunt before, where if you find out that, you know, people are robots or vice versa, are robots actually a human? They did that once. It was weird.
Yeah.
But I think that I did not see the synths.
Yeah, me either.
Thing coming.
I really liked it. I love the twist.
Oh, I loved it.
I didn't see it coming at all. And when it happened, I was like, oh, this makes sense. Everything makes sense about it. And I was like, it was the first movie where someone like sees the future and the future, or like their idea of what the future is, and it doesn't actually help them in any way, really.
No.
And that was annoying me because I was like, why isn't he doing something with these visions? And
this that sucks.
Because
I just realized that it's the exact opposite of what they did in Arrival.
Yes. Like
with the spoilers for Arrival. If people haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that. You grew up.
Oh no! Are you serious? Have you not seen it?
Yes. No. Well, I haven't seen it.
Okay, I'm going to stop there. I'm very, very sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. Look, it's been out for a while. The fact that I haven't seen it is my fault. Go for it. Just go for it. It's
they
cool.
do it is, something man, similar so in Arrival. It is so good.
Yeah. It's like this movie, but a little bit more cerebral and less action. And
better effects.
Better effects. A lot better.
Better actors. Effects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better actors.
Oh, I think these actors did like pretty Penner. Good.
Michael Penner's great, but I kind of wish that he wasn't so serious.
I have a weird issue with Lizzie Kaplan? Chaplin.
What's Kaplan. Name? It's Kaplan.
Because
there's no H.
I can picture.
C-A-P-L-A-N. I keep saying Chaplin. Like, I used to say Chaplin all the time, but I had to look it up for this because I was like, I need to know for sure how to say her name, but it's actually Kaplan.
Please put an H where it's not meant to be. I would appreciate having more shirts.
Yeah. Schneider.
Even though you mispronounce it, that's okay. We can look past it. Not a big deal, Jace. It's all good.
I know, right?
You guys are all bastards.
But, dude, how do you say Lizzie Kaplan?
Schlizzy. Schlizzy Schlaplin.
Schlizzy Schlaplin.
Hey, bro.
Yeah, how are you guys not pronouncing it Schlaplin?
Schlaplin. Sheen, how do you say it?
That's so obvious. Yes.
Extinction. Actually, that just works. Extinction. It just sounds like Sean Connery. Extinction.
Yeah, it really does.
Extinction.
But yeah, oh my God. What were you going to say, Paul?
I have a weird issue. No, it's not an issue, but it's just like anytime I see her, all I can think is just Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she is in Mean Girls.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember which character she is in Mean Girls.
Like, she plays one of the weird chicks who becomes friends with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
One of the, like, the outcast reject people.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The main thing that I think of when I see Lizzie Kaplan is Cloverfield. Because her head that explodes, right? Spoiler for
is
that.
Is she the one who detonates?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Gnarly.
So
that's great.
Huh.
Yeah. That's all
she
I think.
She almost died
about.
In this one too.
She did almost die in this.
Cut it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon. But I think she's a great actress. What do you think of Michael Peña as a leading man and not a sidekick for this movie? Because, like, he's not Lewis from Ant-Man in this. He's the main guy. So did you think he did well?
I thought he... Oh, I still personally think he's better as the sidekick character.
Oh, really?
Because he's just got great comedic timing. But he did better than I expected him to.
Yeah.
As a leading man.
Okay.
Like, I think the family dynamic, he kind of aced that, and he was a believable dad.
Totally.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Know, like, what does the other dad in this group think of that?
Well, I thought that he was actually pretty good. As the father of a PC, I really liked his engagement and his interaction he had with his machines.
Father of a politically correct kid.
Well, he's a synth. So I've built a computer, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah. I feel like...
And I love my little boy.
I'm not going to say that, actually.
Hey?
Oh, nothing.
Were you going to say you built a human too?
No. let's not go down that path. Michael Coulter, Luke Cage himself.
Coulter.
Is also in this. Which is pretty cool to have, you know, a crossover with Lewis from Ant-Man and Luke Cage. And I like to think of this movie as like a crazy dream that Lewis has had from Ant-Man that involved Luke Cage as another character. And I was like trying to think how he'd actually narrate the whole thing. Like, he's like, I had a crazy dream and I woke up and I was a synth and I seen Luke Cage and he was there and he was leading a resistance of the synth. Wow. And, you know, like, just going through that whole thing.
I was can I join in? And he was like, yes.
Yeah. But I was like, this is like the crossover, the only time that we'll see Luke Cage interact probably with someone else from the MCU, because I don't think they'll ever bring Luke Cage into the MCU greater stories. But what did you guys think of Peña's character? There's a moment when he like tells the soldiers to let go of the man. What did you think of that moment? Like,
I actually have that written down.
Yeah.
It just says, like, why is he ordering the troops around? Troops be like, the hell's this guy?
Yeah.
He just worked up the ranks super quickly.
The big dude's like, take him out back and kill him. And some peasant's like, no. He's like, oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, we'll leave him. You know what? Take him unaccompanied to another room. That's all good.
Yeah. You know what? And there's a line in there where he's like, untie him or whatever. And they're like, okay. Like, are these like the low level synths that have to listen to like anybody that talks to them?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's it. Like, they're like the new kind of like Siri.
Yeah, exactly. And they just listen to anyone. So like the invading troops will just be like, surrender. And they're like, okay.
Put down your guns. Yep, sure.
Shoot other synths. Okay. Done.
Yes, sir. Don't shoot us, okay?
Oh, man.
Yeah. But
He's just a leading guy.
Did you think that when you were watching it?
Not when I was watching it, but I was like, there are a few other kind of logic issues as well, like that I picked up on. Like, why are you getting off the train? Like, okay, fair enough, you stopped the train. But why are you now running away from the train when you're going to have to head back to the train and you know people are coming after you?
And there's a giant machine gun on the back of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, open why haven't you started using that before?
That'd be the first thing I'd be firing. Not some crap pistol.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like just using the Glock or whatever, and he's just shooting. And
might as well just be yelling abuse at them.
This handgun is not working. We better fire up the cannon.
Did you realize that all of a sudden the humans became stormtroopers in that moment, and they couldn't hit anything? And I'm like, they're straight in front of you.
Again, another note I have is they could take a lesson from their T-1000 cousins. How did they get the humans off the planet if they suck this hard at fighting?
Yeah. I found it like when that moment happened and they have like the kids run off the train and they hug and everything, I was like, are you serious? We're gonna stop them? Like, what is going on? Like, just please someone shoot all of them right now.
Shoot the kids.
just it's not.
God, are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious? That was not the time or the place. Come on, get on the freaking train.
Yeah.
I was expecting Luke Cage to go down.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's not getting back on this train. It's going to be like a whole, like, synth sacrifice. Michael Pena's going to have to take over. But no, he's cool.
No, he needed the exposition at the end to be like, yeah, no, we remember things.
I have a 40-round Glock. You want to see me reload this gun? You'll be disappointed.
It'll take a while.
Never.
The whole ordering, like Michael Pena just having some sort of random authority, is kind of like, it doesn't make sense at the time, but it's kind of established later on.
It works.
Because when you go and see and you realize that the visions are actually flashbacks, it seems as though in the uprising, he's got a pretty high authority ranking, and clearly the other ones, like the other robots that didn't lose their memories, remember him as a general kind of character.
That's fair.
All right. Yeah, but it's like Michael Pena did not have enough questions at that point. And it's like, why are you listening to me?
Yeah, exactly.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
But even like I thought it was stupid. The fact that it's like, how hard off are these invading aliens that they have to track their gun?
That's so true.
Like, looking back, when they're talking to the dude and he's like, you know, we had to scrounge up enough materials just to get back here. And it's like, okay, so you are hard off. That's fine. Yeah, track your gun. Yeah.
That's true.
But at the time, I was like, that's dumb.
And then also, it was very fortunate that they found the one guy that decided to, like, you know, have a change of heart in the moment and want to help them.
It does make the moment the guns he had with the daughter under the table, it just makes it a bit better. You know how he's like looking at the child and you're like, what's going on here? They weren't expecting kids.
That's true. Yeah. Mm. It does make sense, but yeah, I'm just like, it's very, lucky for our main characters.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
The whole movie's lucky.
Are you maybe led to believe that no matter what human, like, what, no matter what soldier it was that came across that child, they'd have the same change of heart anyway?
Maybe. Get the guy that, like, smacks printers. He's like, screw this.
Yeah. And
I love killing machines.
Yeah. They're just machines. Just going to break them, like smashing a phone or something. Yeah. Damn it. Why don't you just work?
Why don't you work? Oh, yeah. Sure. Your battery's fine. I can't call my girlfriend.
One thing that I didn't notice the first time watching this, but I actually do appreciate, you never see any of the characters eating or drinking in the whole movie.
No way.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it never happens. Even at the party, there's like a whole scene at the party, which you kind of just assume that people are having drinks and stuff, but nobody's drinking or having anything. So it's like completely like just hanging out, without anything, which, because I never picked up on it the first time because I just assumed, and you kind of like the way that normal parties in movies work, you just assume everyone's got a drink in their hand, but they don't. And
no, because how often do you see people, like, except for Brad Pitt in the Ocean's films, often do you see people eating in movies?
Yeah.
Well,
not very often.
You know, unless it's Han from Fast and Furious.
Yeah, Agent Smith. No, not Agent Smith. It's not actually Agent Smith, is it? It's Cypher in The Matrix. Cypher. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good steak.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a pretty iconic scene.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but they're directing your attention right to the food that they're eating, generic party scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. You don't often, it's like just one of those things.
You see Hannibal eating a lot in his movies. So yeah,
especially in Walking Dead as well.
Yeah, there's a lot in Walking Dead. Yeah, yeah, that's every episode pretty much. Yeah, so
Master see you Chef. Later. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Dan.
Hungry? It's the opposite.
But
just bring up 100 different examples to.
Yeah, why'd you come back so soon, man? We're still going through our examples.
Oh my goodness. Did you already find a movie where they were eating?
Yeah.
Was it that easy? We think it's easy. Any other comments you'd like to make?
Welcome to More Dean's Opinions Are Invalid.
Yeah.
You never see a movie with machines. This one was great.
This movie actually reminded me a little bit of a movie that you wrote a few years ago, like a short film, Dean, that you wrote.
First Day.
Yeah, First Day, I was like, oh, yeah, it's like it could almost be a prequel to this movie because it was all about synths and stuff like that and their intervention into society and that. And that's kind of the reason why I thought you might like it a bit more than what you did.
Because you wrote it 5 years ago. I
forgot about that film.
Yeah, because you wrote this film. Maybe you hate it.
Maybe this is like a big fat liar moment.
There's
for
a scene
Dean.
Where somebody's eating in that short film as well.
So the other thing that really annoyed me about this movie was the suits that the humans wear. I was like, why are they even wearing these? Because it doesn't make sense. Like, did you pick up on why?
Mars, man. They're living in colonies on Mars. You can't breathe on Mars. You can't breathe in space.
I get that.
It's just like, it looked like a very terrestrial.
But they're back on Earth.
Yeah, but they didn't know if they could breathe on Earth anymore.
I think Jason's point is like, or, you know, actual question is like, why weren't they just more generic looking spacesuits?
Well, no.
Or why do they have to look alien?
Yeah, why do they have to look alien? And then why are they still wearing them when they come back to Earth? Because it just doesn't seem like they're not armor. They like you've seen the guys clearly. Like just get clearly they're not armor, but like why do they wear them? Like it just seems very cumbersome and kind of unnecessary. Like it doesn't seem to really be helping them. And you've seen like the main character, like the main human character, take it off. And he was fine, and it didn't seem to do anything for him. Like, it wasn't like he was breathing through it or anything like that.
Yeah.
They seem very easy to break as well.
You could see it. You could see it when he was... So the suits made perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
You could see it when he was unconscious and waking up. Those weird little bulbous things on his back were, like, inflating and then deflating and things like that. And then the following story, the fact that they have to, like, quickly leave, suddenly establish a colony on Mars. The suits look weird enough that they've scrounged material from Mars just to make this work. And the only reason the guy was fine is because Michael Penner smashed his helmet open. And it was that point where he's like, oh, I can breathe. That's cool. They didn't know. They had no idea if they could breathe on the planet anymore.
Yeah, okay.
50 true, years on a planet controlled by robots. You don't know.
It's kind of like, why did they have to, like, because I'm sure you could make a less alien-looking spacesuit. It's kind of like it was intentionally done to trick the audience.
Yeah, more than anything, for sure. Because, I mean, if they're going to have, like, any suits, it's going to look like a deteriorated, like, NASA suit or something like that. It's not going to look like as alien as it's only 50 years, right? Like, in 50 years' time, I can't see that changing that much.
Yeah, definitely. And I think maybe it was implied that they wanted the synthetic humans to think they were aliens, but there's no reason for it.
Yeah, well, it wasn't logical because the main human character, he says, "You don't remember, do you?" And he's surprised by that because they don't realize that they've wiped all their memories, kind of thing. Because they wouldn't know that because they've left and everything like that.
Yeah. But so, I've only just thought of this now while you were talking about it. In that scene, he's like, "We had to learn everything about you guys." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Maybe send a scout. Maybe we're like, yeah, no, you can breathe here. It's cool."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be
sending it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
See, at that point, I was thinking that when he said that, I thought that maybe he was still alien and it was kind of like a body snatcher kind of deal that they were.
And that's another thing. When he's like saying to Michael Peña's character, I can't remember, what is his name? I think it's, is it Peter or?
Peter, yeah.
That's yeah. Correct. So when he's saying to Peter, Michael Peña. But when he's saying to him, you have to use your like energy source or whatever, and he gives him the knife to like, and he's like, stab yourself in the chest. I was like, there should be a little bit more hesitation in this moment because he's about to stab himself and he just like goes for it. Hey, like he just has, takes one deep breath in and just boom, done, stabbed himself.
For a brief moment, I thought that that was a play.
Yeah, right, me like too.
I thought that the alien has now just tricked Michael Peña. Is that how you're pronouncing it? Peña, I believe so.
I always thought it was Peña.
No, I think it's Peña.
Okay, because he has like the little thingy above it. Anyway, I thought he tricked him to stab himself and like he's keeping eye contact with him as he's cutting his chest open. And I was just like, for a brief moment, I was like, oh, he's dead. He just killed himself.
Yeah, that's what I thought
But
too.
Then he keeps moving.
So did I.
Chaotic scene.
I was like, oh, he got him.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's fantastic. And I was like, this movie's going to turn very dark very quickly. Like, that's what I thought. And I was kind of surprised that he wasn't just tricking him. But a little bit pleasantly, because it would have been very dark otherwise.
A little bit. Tell you what, you know who I believed the most, who was a synth, was their eldest daughter. Yeah, the one who like had her
the one
like,
that looked
eye
like
blown
robot.
Open.
Yeah,
she full on looked like her. Like I'd buy it.
Yeah,
totally buy that
with the haircut and everything.
With the haircut and everything.
Yeah, I'd buy it. And I think like one of the things that did annoy me the first go around and didn't really annoy me the second time was some of the dialogue from the two children, because I was like, it's not what kids would sound like. But then I can kind of excuse it because they aren't really children. They're like synthetic humans. So it can
like
be
in the elevator.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I do like the very subtle hint to what's going to happen later on when he's fixing the toy, the little monkey toy, and he like opens up and fixes up the circuits in it to fix up the battery. And then it's exactly what happens later on with the wife and with himself connecting.
But then also, did you pick up on the bit where when he was at the facility and he blows the machine? And his boss, Luke Cage, was like, "I haven't seen you break a machine ever." And he's like, "Oh, the current just split." And then later on, the alien guy's like, "This may or may not work. If the current splits, you're both dead." And it's like, "Ah, we've seen that earlier. We've seen what happens to machines."
I never picked up on that either. Wow.
Did not pick that up.
I mean, like, there's a lot of things in this that are actually pretty good. But
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think I might want to do a second viewing to see if I pick up on all this stuff. But my question is that on the first viewing, on everyone's first viewing, was there enough at the start for any of you to have any idea of the twist to come?
No.
Not at all.
You couldn't pick it? Okay. So my friend at work came up to me, like I said, I watched Extinction last night, and he fully was like, oh, Extinction, oh, I picked up on the twist. I knew what was going to happen in like the first 5 minutes. I was like, how? And then he's like, oh, you have to watch it. I was like, I have, that's why I'm asking you. Then I was like, how? Like, what did you, what gave it away? He's like, oh, and then he said, oh, you have to watch it. And I was like, I have watched it, man. I,
yeah,
that's why I'm asking you, what gave it away? And he didn't really give me a like straight answer.
He's like, oh, you got to read Wikipedia before you watch it.
You got to read all the reviews.
He eventually said like,
the spoiler reviews.
He eventually said like, oh, in one of the first scenes, there's something on his shirt that isn't in other scenes and it gives away what he really is. I was like, okay, I look through, I look through the first couple of scenes. It's not there.
Yeah.
I call it bullcrap.
Have you seen, maybe it was like,
wait, no. Maybe he's talking about, is he talking about the humans, it being humans though? Maybe he's talking about the suits and he,
no, he's
up
talking
on
about
the human twist.
Humans being synths.
Yeah.
That's
right.
What he was talking
yeah,
about.
Cause I don't think anyone would really pick up on this twist. I think it's very well done, in that way. But it's all the other things that are bringing the movie down, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's like when you watch The Prestige the first time. There is no way you're going to get that twist until the, like, two scenes.
Have you not seen The Prestige?
Ending. What
Whoa,
the
what?
Heck, man?
Oh.
What?
Take it easy, boys.
What are we meant to talk about in this podcast?
We're
have you seen all these movies?
This is a film podcast.
We're not talking about The Prestige.
It's a film podcast.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of films. I haven't seen
Top
all the
five
films.
Greatest films
I'm not the bloody
ever made.
Spaceship from God. Stealth. I have a life.
Okay.
Do you?
Next issue. You've seen Stealth, but you haven't seen The Prestige.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to go one step further? Do you want to go down this rabbit hole? I haven't seen Memento.
Yeah, that's okay.
I haven't seen Memento either.
Oh,
really?
Okay,
haven't
I thought
you?
That'd get a bigger response.
I've seen it. I'm the only one that's seen it, but I can understand not watching it.
It's on my to-watch
Dean,
list.
Dean, I completely understand that you haven't seen that movie, Dean. Yeah. That's fine. Paul, why haven't you seen this?
Schneider. Shut up.
Yeah, like, go back to that one.
You know I can only dish it out. I don't like it when the action turns this way.
Thank you, Jason. Yeah. You're a very understandable kind of guy.
I know, right?
Now, this is what Jason's like. No, you shut up too. You can't
Paul,
say words.
I think you need to watch Memento and The Prestige because, like, really, if you want to stay on this, if you want to stay on this podcast, you should watch both of those.
That's my way out.
Boy.
That's the caveat. If
just
I don't watch
do
the Prestige,
something.
I'm free.
Yeah, you Dobby is free.
Dobby is free. Jason has handed Paul a movie. Paul is free.
Oh
my gosh.
Sorry, audio listeners.
Paul, in all seriousness, Jason, if we want to get Paul to watch The Prestige, just make a decision now. Say, right, next week we're going to do a podcast on The Prestige.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And watch it.
Yeah, yeah. He'll watch it with like 5 minutes
before.
To spare.
The lengths I've gone to watch stuff minutes before we start recording.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm loving it. It's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're almost out of time for this podcast anyways. Is there anything else that you guys want to say that you haven't already said?
A little bit. I wanted to sort of approach the topic of what your thoughts are on AI.
Oh, man.
It's like a genuine issue of discussion, or is that
no,
too deep?
No, well, it's very interesting, isn't it? Like, and you have all these movies now, like you've got The Machine, Ex Machina, have you guys ever seen The Machine? Have you seen that movie?
I'm scared to say no.
Yeah.
But no.
I haven't seen this one either.
I can understand you not seeing The Machine. It's more of a lower budget British film. I believe it's
Extinction.
British film. It's got Toby Stevens in it from Black Sails.
Oh, nice.
So The Machine, it was like a 2013 movie. It kind of got very overlooked. Because it was a lower budget movie, but again, it could almost go into the underrated sci-fi because it's very similar to Ex Machina, the movie that was directed by Alex Garland. Alex Garland, okay. Who also directed Annihilation, the Netflix film.
The Oven, yes.
Want to see that?
Yeah. Ooh, I know you want to see that, Paul, but I don't think you'll like it, to be honest. But
why?
Yeah, I think we should do a review on that, though. I really think that would be a good one to do because it is a very different movie and it's not straight up.
Wait.
Yeah.
Is it scary?
Have you seen the trailer? Is it scary?
Look, dude, I think it's best that we do a review on this one. I think actually we'll do that in the coming weeks. We'll do a review on that one because
I
think
it's... watch that on the train where it's light and I'm surrounded by people.
I won't say it's scary, but I think it might be best if you watch it on the train.
alone,
but night. No, I think it'll be very divisive between us.
It kind of ties into like pretty well with what we're talking about tonight because it's a bit of a trend that's happening at the moment. A lot of low budget sci-fi films that are meant to be theatrical releases are now jumping to Netflix.
Yeah,
because production companies are just worried that. I guess sci-fi films don't have an audience anymore.
Well, I think
it's wild considering like everything that's dominating the charts. Like if anything, now is the time.
I think the thing is though, is that they don't have the blockbuster appeal of their more cerebral sort of thinking sci-fis where it works on a different level and they don't usually sell that well. Like I know Ex Machina didn't really sell really well, like even though it's a great movie and if you ever get a chance to
like
watch
Ghost in the Shell.
Like even
Ghost in the Shell's not
the
not well maybe the first Ghost in the Shell. I haven't actually seen the first one. But I hear it's a lot better than the Scarlett Johansson
even
one.
The Denis Villeneuve. Am I saying that right? Denis Villeneuve. Okay.
Correct.
His sci-fi film, like Arrival and Blade Runner, they were both released, but I don't think either of them did very well.
No, Blade Runner didn't make money, unfortunately. Yeah. And that was a great movie. And both of those actually are really good movies.
Yeah.
Such good movies.
I think Arrival actually did a little bit better than Blade Runner. They did say that they never really expected Arrival to, not Arrival, Blade Runner to actually do well, for whatever reason. Like they just basically said that the audience wasn't really there, but, for Arrival, it was like $47 million budget and made $203 million. So after marketing costs and everything like that, because it's usually, you know, the budget's $47 million, but then you have marketing costs on top, which usually are about double. It doubles the figure. So you're looking at about $90 million for costs. And then the box office is...
Plus marketing.
Yeah, well, no, see, that's with marketing because it's $47 million for the actual budget. And then, probably another $45 million for marketing. And then it's made $203 million. So I don't know how much of that would actually go to the production because then you get to halve it basically with the cinemas and everything like that. They take their cut.
Sales.
So it would have made a little bit of money, but not a great deal of money. And then Blade Runner.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure.
Well, do you remember Skyline? That movie?
Yes, I do remember Skyline. I seen Skyline at the cinemas, actually.
Yeah, same.
And I wanted to like that movie. And it's pretty good visual effects. I think it's got better visual effects than Extinction.
Well, what's crazy is the guys who did Skyline, isn't it? Was the same VFX. Do you know the story behind Skyline?
Yeah,
I don't.
So no. VFX house that was doing Battle for Los Angeles. And then they hit a point where they're like, screw it, we can kind of do our own thing as well.
Yep.
So they made Skyline just before Battle LA came out. Yeah. And they made it for like $10 million.
Oh, and
mm-hmm. In
which,
did they steal the storyline?
No, it's different. VFX were on par. Like, it felt like they used assets.
I reckon that the VFX in Skyline are like better than Battle Los Angeles. Yeah. I think actually the major problem with that movie is that it's very disorientating and it's really hard to know what the hell they're filming in general. Because
Skyline?
No, Battle Los Angeles. Because yeah. It's like they have a lot of those scenes that are sort of filmed like Saving Private Ryan, but because there's so many visual effects and things happening, it's really hard to know exactly what's happening. But Skyline,
yeah,
what brought that down, I think, was the acting. And some of the some of the dialogue is quite terrible in that movie.
But the VFX look great.
Oh, the VFX are fantastic.
That is what matters, definitely.
Well, see, Battlefield was one of the reasons why, damn it, Battle.
Yeah, I keep saying Battlefield too.
Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
It just feels right to say. But it was half the reason why I didn't like Extinction at first. Because I was like, oh, it's going to be beat for beat. An alien invasion trope fest. It's like, oh, they're going to invade. We're going to find a way to fight back. They're probably allergic to the flu or some crap.
Yeah.
And whatever. And then that's why I enjoy the twist so much, because it's like, I haven't actually seen something like this before.
Yeah.
It's great.
Have you actually seen the sequel to Skyline?
Beyond Skyline?
It's called Skyline something. I can't remember what it's called.
I thought you were being funny.
No, there's actually a sequel to Skyline. What is it called?
Beyond Skyline. It is Beyond Skyline.
Yeah, Beyond Skyline. Yeah. Did you say Beyond Skyline? I did.
You guys are too busy laughing.
It feels like an online shopping network.
I watched it. It's on Netflix as well. I watched it recently because I remember watching Skyline and thinking right at the very end of that movie, have you seen it, Dean?
I haven't, but that's okay.
So, yeah, it's not a great twist. It's not really worth watching that much. Like, the visual effects are pretty awesome, but other than that, like, the movie's not great. but it does feel a lot like Extinction because it's all set in one building and they never really leave the one building. Although the visual effects are a lot better in Skyline than Extinction. At the very end, I'm going to spoil this for anyone listening. it's like 10 years old or something, 8 years old, it was 2010. So
you can't talk about it until it's 10 years old.
Yeah, okay, let's wait 2 years and I'll spoil this movie.
We'll come back to this.
Yeah,
let's pause this podcast now. We'll come back to it in two years.
Come back to it in 2 years' time and finish listening to it. So right at the end of Skyline, he gets abducted by the aliens with his pregnant girlfriend also gets abducted by aliens, like the main character, and his brain gets sucked out of his head. And because he's been exposed to these beams of light throughout the whole movie, he's like slowly built up a resilience to their technology. And his brain gets lodged into one of these robots that the aliens have, and he's able to take over the robot. And in the most like crazy sort of twist in the thing, and he starts to protect the pregnant girlfriend
as an alien
robot kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
Which, cool. Like, it's so cool. Like, and this is in the last 5 minutes of the movie, and then the credits come up. That's literally the end of the movie.
Right.
Because he's like protecting her.
End.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Like, where is it going to go with this movie now? And then it just stops. and I was like, oh, that was like a great last 5 minutes of a movie. And the rest of the movie is not very good. But
that's it.
Then a few years later, they came back with Beyond Skyline, which starts off basically around the same time. from a different perspective. So it has Frank Grillo, I think his name is. So he's sort of like, you know, that low budget sort of action hero kind of guy. He's also Bones? Is it Bones? Crossbones in
the show.
In Winter Soldier and Civil War.
Crossbones. He's like Crossbones.
Is it Crossbones?
Yeah.
Is that? I feel like that's wrong. But,
The dude.
Yeah.
The dude at the beginning.
Yeah. The dude at the beginning. But he's also in Winter Soldier as well. Like he gets blown up in Winter Soldier, then comes back.
The secret Hydra agent.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's the main role in the second one. And it sort of, he crosses paths with the evil robot kind of thing, or not evil. Well, it's evil to the aliens, but it's like a human robot kind of thing.
Yeah.
From the first one.
Right.
So it kind of, it does sort of tie into that a little bit. But it's still not a very good movie. Hmm. But the visual effects in both of them is like fantastic.
So good.
And they'd be like, if they were made like, well, if Skyline was made like now, it would be straight to Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just 100%. Like everything else that is straight to Netflix.
We'll be talking about it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little game. Okay. It's an entire genre on Box Office Mojo, which is sci-fi alien invasion.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, this Skyline came 40. I can't actually find Extinction, so we'll just ignore that.
Well, it wouldn't be in there because it's not aliens.
I mean, what's an alien, really?
That's true. It's not. You're right. An alien is just someone from another country, isn't it?
Whoa. A planet.
Whoa.
Hey, take it easy, buddy. Welcome to the Donald Trump podcast. No, I want to say, can you guys guess? Give me like the top five.
Please tell me.
The best alien invasion
Please
movies.
Tell me Spielberg's War of the Worlds and or Edge of Tomorrow are up there.
Independence Day?
Independence Day
has to be like number one.
Okay, right? Independence Day? Independence Day is number five.
What?
War of the Worlds is number nine. Aww. Edge of Tomorrow is 22.
Okay, so wait, is it alien like bad invasion or
just alien invasion? Looking at the list, think of it in the purest of sense.
What do you mean?
I'll help you off. The first one, number one, Marvel's Avengers.
Ah,
really?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I see.
All right.
Okay, look, I can see this bogging the podcast down. I'm just going to give you the top 10.
That's a great
So we've got from 1 to 10. I'll go from 10 to 1.
Does this count as like plagiarizing someone else's stuff? Because you're like giving us a list from somewhere. Where's this from?
Yeah, but I didn't say I made the list. Hey,
yeah,
Paul, what are your top 10 best sci-fi invasion movies?
If I had to think, coming in at number 10, them. I think would be... I'd say maybe Signs, number 10. Maybe War of the Worlds.
Yeah, right. Okay. I thought you were saying Signs number one for a second, and I'm like, no, really?
Should it be Avengers?
No, good number one.
Signs, War of the World, Transformers, Age of Extinction, Men in Black, Man of Steel, Independence Day, Transformers, Dark of the Moon, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, Marvel's The Avengers.
Wait.
Wow.
Dark of the Moon actually went higher than Transformers, the original Transformers?
Hang on.
This is based on lifetime gross.
Dark of the Moon.
Yeah. It's not actually best. It's just best box office.
Yeah, but I mean, if you rate it for money, then yes.
It doesn't make a good film. Like, I mean, Age of Extinction made a heap of money.
I mean, look, if you're a shareholder, it makes it a pretty good film.
That's true. That's
Jason,
true.
The facts are what they are. If Revenge of the Fallen made more money, it's got to be a better film.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Yeah.
That's war. Yeah. Yeah.
Chicken Little's in here. Chicken Little's 15. Chicken Little beat Transformers the last night.
No, I've actually not seen Chicken Little, so what is it? Is there actually an alien invasion in that?
It's a parody of War of the Worlds. And right, it's on the list of actually an alien invasion movie.
All I know from Chicken Little is he like says like the sky is falling or something, doesn't
he? The sky's falling. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then do we want to spoil Chicken Little for people as well?
It's like something off a ship.
Yeah, you just ruined it.
I don't care.
You ruined it for me. I was going to watch that.
It came out in 2005.
It was holding out.
It's over 10 years old. We can talk about it.
Chicken Little would be in year 7.
I was holding out for the 20-year anniversary.
I wanted the 4K box set. All right, let's land this plane. Right,
cool.
I'm out of content.
Let's just go through. Dean, actually, what were we going to say just to before we go into our final results?
Well, okay, I had another question for you guys, and it was just I want to know if like you guys can think of any other movies that did.
Hang on. Hang on.
That have kind of done this kind of twist before, or like, you know, if you've seen it done better or worse in any, because I feel like it is a bit of a unique one.
I haven't seen like the I'm Not Human twist that I can think of.
Yeah. Apart from Doctor Who episodes.
Yeah.
Ender's Game.
Oh,
I love that twist.
Yeah.
You know what? I reckon that is an underrated sci-fi. I love
100%.
That movie.
Definitely agree.
Great movie.
That's a great movie. And I wish they made more of those. I'm so disappointed that they didn't complete that series. And I can understand why it didn't make money, because it's really hard to pick who the audience is for it, because it's not really kids and it's not really adults. Yeah. So, like, mm-hmm. the audience is very mishmashed.
Even the books.
Yeah.
The books are hard to read. The first one's great. And then as you go on, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, right. Stop. What happens after it? Because I haven't actually read the books.
I read the next one. I forget. I read them years ago.
Yeah.
I got through the second one and it was a bit of a slog.
Yeah.
And then I saw there was a third one and I could not be bothered.
Yeah, right.
Oblivion kind of does a bit of a similar twist,
Oblivion,
doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
Turns out the Battleship.
Aliens. Yeah. Battleship. Really? Yeah. It does. What?
It doesn't. I just saw it on the list.
You just wanted to mention Battleship.
I just
wanted
to talk about it. Yeah. It's a good movie.
What is it, like 50 on the list? It's money, Battleship. Isn't it? It's money. I forgot. It's not actually quality.
It made $4 million more than Ender's Game. But what makes me cry inside is it made $13 million less than Pixels.
Oh, man. That is...
Yep.
Oh, that's a brutal hit.
Yep.
You know what that means, Paul?
Oh, I Am Number 4.
That was hey.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah, like that means Pixels is a better film than Battleship.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's just money. Like, look, that doesn't matter.
No, but it does. You see no. the shareholders, it matters. that's what really matters.
You're kidding yourself here.
I've heard these excuses before.
You're looking like a bit of an ass.
If we've learned anything tonight, it's that quality is represented by money. Yeah. Cool.
I think you should be writing down your own notes, Paul.
What is it? Money doesn't buy happiness, but I'd rather cry in a Lamborghini than on a bus.
There's that Reddit thing where it's like the my boss bought a Lamborghini and I was like, wow, you bought a Lamborghini? And he goes, you know what? If you work really hard, and I mean like really, really hard, you know what I'll do next year? I'll buy myself another Lamborghini.
Yeah, that's right. If you really apply yourself and work really hard, next year, I'll buy another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. That was really funny.
All right. Anyways, so let's wrap this up. We're definitely out of time now. What are your final results out of 5 birds? How many birds did you give it? Dean, you go first. What did you give it?
Tossing up. There's a half star in here that I'm not sure about, but I'm going to say 3.
You're going to say 3? Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's so, been pretty generous.
So that's more than the 50, what was it, 51% that you were going to give it before?
Yeah. But, well, yeah, this is like,
that look is at a you go.
Two and look a half. You go. You kind of like won me over, making me think it's a bit better than what I remember it, but I'll have to rewatch it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. So what about
three
you?
Three and a half. So three ish.
Yeah. I was going to give it like 2.75 to 3 purely because it was a twist that I didn't see coming, and it was the right kind of twist that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that, especially in such a, you know,
let's
a healthy-
just round this up so that our graphic that comes out later on is not going to be super confusing.
So a graphic designer doesn't
kill us.
You just have all these weirdly fractioned.
Three. Yeah. Yeah.
3.12.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. That would be fantastic. That it's not like 3.12.
I'm going to give it
three.
Pie birds out of 3.14.
3 2/16.
You're like, I'll give it 5.1 birds out of 10. Change it up completely.
Figure that out, Shell.
Yeah. So,
9 birds out of 17.
Yeah. Wait, what was your final figure? What is it?
3.
Okay, well, we're on the same page. We're all 3. I agree. Weird. I think 3. I was tossing up giving it 2.5, but after watching it a second time, I actually thought it was better the second time, and that's what pushed it up to a 3 for me. So, you know, maybe if I watch it a third time, it'll go 3.5 and continue on that part. I doubt it though. But yeah. So that's all we have time for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. The podcast? That's not really a show, is it?
The podcast show.
Thanks for joining into episode 1 of Nerds Before Birds. Yeah. We're still figuring it out.
Yeah.
What is the name we're changing it? Thank you for joining into tuning into We Apologize for
last week's episode. And we apologize for this episode that's just occurred. If you enjoyed the show,
it's called Apologies Before Nerds Before Birds.
Yeah. Apologies Before Birds. If you enjoyed the show and you want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month, and that really helps us to keep the lights on and, just pay for like subscriptions and everything like that, and our graphic designer as well.
We have a graphic designer? Whatever.
Yeah, we do. What? And so, that's pretty much... Yeah. Is anything
where
else?
Can they find us, Jason, if they want to have a little chit chat?
That's it. If you want to have a chit chat, we can talk to you on Facebook. We are on Facebook.
Oh, thank God.
Facebook.
I thought you were going to give us like give our home addresses out. I don't do that.
You can head on over to Tuggera. Say hi to Dean.
You can find Dean at 72 Lipskin Lane
on a Monday morning.
Shut up.
That's actually a fake address. So anyone looking that up, I don't even know where I've sent you.
But say hi to them for us.
You can find me in the line at Central.
Buy them a Nerds Before Birds t-shirt at redbubble.com/nerdsbeforebirds.
Yes, that's also, we have our Redbubble as well. If you don't want to contribute on patreon.com, you can also just buy a shirt, wear a shirt around. That'd be great.
We get none of the money, but it looks cool. So,
we do get like a very small percentage of the money. But it's very, very small. And we've got to divide it upon 3 people. And well, actually,
that's right.
We don't even cover cost.
We don't. We're negative. Yeah,
we do this because we love it.
Because you feel bad for us. And this is great. I love this sympathy thing that you're going for here. It's great.
It's good, Jace. It'll work. Yeah. We're going to notice a spike.
Yeah. We're going to get $2 this month. Fantastic.
$2.85.
Support us on Patreon, Mum.
All right. That's all we got time for. So that's a bye from me.
Wait.
Next time it doesn't work, don't smack your microwave. It might have feelings.
Oh, wait, Paul. What were you going to say? What were you going to
say your name was?
I was going to say like Robopaul or some crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.